The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Thursday, January 16th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day. Today, we're going to have a conversation with Cahoon, Anku Sora. We're going to be asking him some general questions. We're going to go back to this Coptic Church of the Black Messiah, an alternative Christianity, right? I'm not sold whether this is the Christianity or the Christianity for me. Some things just seem awkward. Some things seem, you're trying too hard to make me blackity black. I done black. I ain't no regular black. I am 98% African, according to that COBUB genealogy thing. So I know what color I is. I know where I come from, right? I ain't normal for a West Indian. I'm black, right? If you ever see me, you don't doubt that, yeah, that's a black man there, right? I dark. But I wanted to have a conversation on why Anku Sora and the Coptic Church has decided to make this a religion. How is it that they come across some sacred scrolls and say, believe that this is God's calling? And I believe that this, because Anku Sora grew up Christian like the rest of us. His navel string is buried in that, what that church is on that, what W.E.B. in this church is? What type of church?
Church of God.
Church of God. He's a Church of God man. But he gone to the States and then some African Americans and some Africans corrupted his soul. Sorry, let me change that. His heart, no, sorry. Just changed his mind that he believed that this religion is better. It's better for him because of an African man. And I say, I'm not sure if you're excluding white people, if you're excluding Chinese people, can they be saved in this Christianity? Let me add to this. I know that I'm not even sure which calendar we use no more, because the Romans them keep on changing it, right? But I know the Catholic Church is the one who have adopted this calendar. Is Georgian or calendar we in?
Oh, the Gregorian calendar?
The Gregorian calendar. There's a Catholic Church response for that, mm-hmm. right? The Catholic Church has some brilliant people in that 1400s, mid ages. Mm-hmm. They had brilliant people who figured out the calendar, figured out the date of Jesus' birth, figured out things that we are using today. I'm not sure what the Coptic Church them figure out yet, but I know what the Catholic Church figure out. And because whatever the Catholicism did, it has permeated to the Anglicans, which we mostly are, and then to the Baptists and the Methodists, all separate and apart, but basically came down from Catholicism. We have a Western religion that is gleaned, birthed from Catholicism. That's who we are. A universal Catholic, and Catholics mean universal, it's a universal apostolic church from those Catholic people. I'm realizing that the Ethiopians them have a whole different calendar. The Eastern Orthodox Church have a different calendar. And I'm saying those people confuse. Are they confused? And I'm going to add that you may be confused. And if you are confused, I'm not sure if you know my God. And that's what the conversation is going to be leading today. And also I'm going to talk about beginning and trying to find origins. My question to you is, why are y'all so peculiar? Why are y'all so different? Why are you making the effort to just be separate and apart of established religion? We didn't know who we are. We didn't know who the Christ is, the Christos, right? Well, we didn't know that our Savior has come, right? But you saying different. I don't even know if you even believe that Jesus is the Christ. You keep on even changing Jesus' name. You want to change it to Yeshua. And it can't be Yeshua because they said there's power in the name. And I've never heard anyone call in the name of Yeshua, I shall be whole. But I know Jesus can heal me. I know my Jesus could heal me. But I'm not sure about your Yeshua. Because nobody never say Yeshua raised people from the dead. So that's why I want to talk about Uncle Sarah. Why you're so particular? I mean, peculiar. Just differenter. And then why are you trying to... It's just like remind me of my Hebrew Israelites friend. Like, they got to come on the show soon. You're trying to change Christian me. And I won't be safe. I won't be calling that number. And I believe that y'all don't want me to go on the spaceship when it comes to pick me up. Welcome, Dr. Cleveland.
Pastor, which means I bow to the divinity within you. My name is Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Aeneas III, also known as Kahun Anku Sarah. And wow, that was a mouthful by my good cousin, Sihe Nuri. What I want to start today's show with is a verse out of 2 Thessalonians that I think applies to my good cousin, because what he espouses today, what he exemplifies today, is one who is affected by a very strong delusion. Not a strong delusion that the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah or Kahun Anku Sarah is talking about, but 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, excuse me, this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Okay? Now the question would be, what type of God would send a people a strong delusion? All right? And so I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, and I want to go to, I can read it in the King James, but I'm also going to read it in the New Living Translation, right? But this is the New Living Translation of 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand the message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. So Satan, Brother Nuri, is the god of this world, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. That's important, because when you ask the question of the Holy Coptic Church and what we believe and why we believe what we believe, we didn't just decide to start a religion. Let's just make that clear right now. We have revived a way of life that has existed on this planet for millions, dare we say billions of years. The last time that this way of life was revived, it was revived by one called Akhenaten. They'll say Akhenaten.
See, I can stop you there. Forgive me, I wasn't going to stop you. But y'all keep on trying to apply these foreign... There's no Akhenaten inside my Bible. So how can I would allow you to openly say Akhenaten is a Moses or Akhenaten? No.
So last week we talked about majority rule, and we talked about a king who knew not Joseph. That Joseph, one of the Josephs in the scripture, is this Akhenaten. His name is Yusuf Akhenaten. And so it's not that the names are not in the Bible. It is not in the version of the Bibles that we are reading today.
Or that he wrote, talking about his Bible.
Well, he have a beach too. So you got to watch these fellas who's colonized beaches and things. You see what I'm saying? So he have a beach. He may have a Bible too. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important. The questions that he raises today is very important. Because we have to understand that the Bible is not the problem. The Quran isn't even the problem. The interpretation, the mistranslation is the problem. When we go to the book of John, chapter 1, verse 41, it talks about this. Someone is interpreting the name Messiah to Christ. And that's important to touch on because John 1:41 reads, Andrew went to find his brother. And let me go back to the King James Version, right? Because it's important that we understand that someone is in this book interpreting. Someone is in this book interfering with the original languages. he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted to Christ. Now, why would they interpret the Messiah as Christ?
You're trying to say Messiah and Christ is two different people?
I'm saying that someone is interpreting. See, Messiah is a title. Christ is a title.
Yes, these are titles.
These are titles, right?
So Christ isn't Jesus' last name?
That's funny.
It's funny. Jesus Christ.
He was a part of the caressed consciousness, right? He was a part of a consciousness that was here before him, and he was here, and he left those who were able to get on the path that he was on in that consciousness. In fact, in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 12, he says, verily, verily, you know the word verily?
It's true. I learned that in Catholic school.
It's actually amen. The word is amen.
Verily is true.
All right, let's
truly, truly, I see
want you. I want you to see it. I want you to see it.
See?
I want you to look at it and see what it says in the concordance. Let's say amen. You see what?
I see you say amen.
All right, good. Okay. I just wanted to make sure they don't think I'm making it up.
I didn't say verily means true. I hear you, but verily means true. Truly, right. Truly, I say unto you. Go ahead.
Right. So this verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, right? He that believeth on me, not in me, on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So this consciousness, this way of life, all right, which when we go to the book of John chapter 20, verse 22, we see where this Messiah, this Yahshua Christ, he is breathing on his disciples. And when he had said, this is 21, John chapter 20, verse 21, then said Yahshua to them, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. So he was sent, which means someone who sent him was already on this path, and he is sending those that he raised or he helped to disciple, right? Then said Yahshua again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost, or what we know as the Holy Soul or the Spirit of Truth. This breath goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 2.
The breath of life?
So it is the breath of life. But if we go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, as you just said. And man became a living soul. So this breath, this wind, this ruach, which is the word for soul, right? And they often interchange the word for spirit and soul in scripture because, again, the people who were interpreting these scriptures did not have an African perspective, because this is an African book. The word Bible, from the word biblos or biblion.
That's Greek. I see. I learned Greek too inside the Catholic school.
And they'll tell you it means papyrus.
See? I'm going to ask you this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to warn you, because in the 14th century, we would have stoned you, depending on how you answer.
Who's we? You'd have been getting stoned.
I don't know, but see, we was in charge back then. But let me
notice
say.
I ain't say nothing, right?
We had a big ducking together.
Let me ask you that. Do you believe God, the Creator, is the same as God, the Son? Three into one, because that's what I'm teaching my child now. It's three equals one, and they're all the same. There's different characteristics of the same entity.
So that narrative, right, if we go to, and this is something that the Bible commentators have discussed in the book of 1 John, chapter 5. First John, chapter 5, that's out of verse 6. It says, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, or Yahshua Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. This particular verse, these two verses, these are in dispute. All right?
What do you mean dispute? Who disputed?
These are not in the original manuscripts.
You just read it. What do you mean it's not an original manuscript?
Because this is not an original manuscript. This is the King James Version. You understand? This is something that was added to it. And let me show you why it's important. Look at what the manuscripts originally said. If we go to John 10 and 30, if this is true, then John 10 and 30 should say that this is the Messiah speaking, right? It says, that's our back at verse 29. It says, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Then he goes in verse 30 of John 10 to say, I and my Father are one. He never says, I, my Father, and the Holy Ghost are one. Right? Furthermore, if we go to the book of John, chapter 17.
So you're saying this Holy Ghost is not part of this Trinity?
I'm saying that the Spirit of truth, it moves through those who are of this bloodline. All right? Those who are part of this Christ consciousness. And we'll see it right here.
So are you saying that Jesus, say I'm using a Yahshua word, you're saying Jesus and the Father is one? I'm just trying to see what you're saying. They're one. There's one.
I'm saying that the Most High Heavenly One, that I am.
Yeah, I am.
Okay, in Exodus 3, verses 14 and 15, it talks about this I am, the great I am, allows a portion of itself to be placed inside of those who are within creation. All right? So when you seek to be one with the divinity that has been placed in you, then you can become one with the Most High.
My God, you're trying to say that it is possible for me to become God?
Not only that, if we go to the...
Then you got
to
say yes or no, then you
yes,
say not
it
only.
Is.
Oh, God.
It is, and it's not me saying it. Let me read John 17, and then we're going to go to John chapter 10 again, right? In John 17, it says in verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all, listen to this, Brother Nuri, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, and the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So this oneness that is being sought by this Messiah is something that we can all achieve. When we do achieve it, we can become a part, if we go to the book of John, chapter 10, the Messiah is having this very discussion, all right? And if we go down to verse, I'll start from verse 30, where he says, I and my Father are one. They says, then the Jews took up stones, again, to stone him. You talk about getting stoned, right? Verse 32, Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. This is the conversation we have now. Jesus, or Yahshua, answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? Now, that's important, because if we go to the book of Psalms, chapter 82, we see where the Messiah is referencing in the book of Psalms 82. Verse 6, it says, I have said ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Being God doesn't make you the Most High. The word God is the word Elohim. It's the word theos in Greek. And it doesn't mean a singular being. It means male gods, female goddesses. It could mean a magistrate. It could mean a principality, right, when you look up this word. But it goes on to say, but ye shall die like men. So, yes, you have the ability to raise to the image and likeness of those who are referred to as God, or when in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, when it's talking about making man in our image and after our likeness, those who were made in the image and after the likeness of God or Elohim, they weren't considered man. They were called Adam. Male and female created he them and called their name Adam. We didn't become what's called man today until Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, where Seth gave birth to one called Enos, the Enoshite, the forgetful, the mortal being. All right? That is when the gene of this Elohim had been corrupted and had been tampered with insofar as we now lost contact with the very beings who actually created us. So they say, then began man to call on the name of the Lord. We lost the name Anere, and we only had the ability to call on whomever the Lord was over us, whoever the sitting Bibi or Baba, the Coptic Pope, as we understand it, of that generation. We were able to call on the Adonai or the Atonai, and we lost the name Anere, which we now have back again, the great I Am.
Western civilization, Western religion, mm-hmm. has declared that we must acknowledge that God had a chosen set of people. Mm-hmm. And that chosen set of people don't look like me and you. We are the rejected set, but there's a certain group who God has chosen. And we, as Christian people who have accepted the Christ, right, as our Lord and Savior, must acknowledge that a certain set of people is God's favorite and that God will take care of them set first. And if we don't be embracing that, we ain't getting taken care of at all, right? We can get lost, right? Is there such a thing as God's favorite people? And if there is such a thing as God's favorite people, are the people who they identify as the favorite people, are the favorite people in us who ain't identified as the favorite people, ain't the favorite people?
That makes sense, right, Aaron?
Yeah, I think I understand what you're asking.
I wouldn't know if I was a favorite or...
As a black woman, I'm not even... I didn't even think about it. Why would I think about it?
You sound like you're a rejected stone.
I'm just saying, don't talk about stones. I get scared when you're talking about stones.
So in the book of Revelation chapter 7, it talks about these 12 tribes being sealed before this great multitude, right? It says, hold back the four winds, Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. And it talks about until we've sealed. Matter of fact, let me just read it to make sure that I'm saying it correctly. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 1, and after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Verse 2, and I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom he was given, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And then it goes on to talk about who these servants of God are, these 12 tribes. They wanted 12,000 of each of the 12 tribes, which would be 144,000. Now, what has happened in this day and time, you know, that at one point it was 144,000 being required. But if we go to the book of Jude, we're now at a point where 10,000, right? Jude, which is only one chapter, verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. These 10,000 saints or these 10,000 Nazarites will have 144,000 experiences that allows for these experiences to be added to what is called the collective consciousness or this Kress consciousness. This planet is up for judgment. This planet is up for judgment. Of the zillions of planets like this in this solar system and in this galaxy, we are up for judgment.
So you believe there's going to be a judgment?
We're in it right now. We have to decide if we're going to live more in the image and after the likeness of those who created us, or if we're going to live in the image and after the likeness of the beast. Now, based on the question you asked earlier about a chosen people, we have to understand that this, the words, let us create man in our image and after our likeness, has been said by different groups of beings, different groups of celestial beings. So when you ask the question, each group of celestial beings has an earthly counterpart or has those who have their genealogy, their culture, their heritage, their rights, their commandments, their laws. On what the Greco-Romans have successfully done is they've merged all of these stories and all of these realities into one book and told us that we must follow
the image that they have given us, which is the image of the beast. There's no image in Leviticus chapter 13 and 14 talks about this image of those with recessive melanin, which is counter that of Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 through 15, where they talk about this Messiah who did not come for the world. He came only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, as he mentioned to this Canaanite lady in the book of Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 to 24. He said, I didn't come for you. I came only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, which is the house of Judah. You understand?
That means the chosen people, the tribe of Judah, the rest of the Benjamin and Dan, I mean, going up to.
Right. So, but how do we identify those people? Because he was one of them. Revelation chapter 1, 12. And let me just read it for those who may not be familiar with it. It gives a description of one like unto the Son of Man, all right? So they're actually giving a description of Akhenaten here in Revelation chapter 1, all right? Verse 12, this is John speaking, all right? And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Now, to understand who this is, you have to go to the Injil or the Istanjil, the Book of Salvation, which is what the Book of Revelation was originally called. And you learn that this is Akhenaten who he's talking about, who is the father of the Messiah of that day and time called Tutankhamun. Book of Revelation 3, verse 14, where they call the Messiah the Amen. Okay? But it goes on in Revelation chapter 1. And it gives a description of one like unto the Son of Man. He would look like his father and his mother. Revelation chapter 1, verse 14, his head and his hairs were white like wool. My grandfather's hair was white like wool. As white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. If you still needed more, they added more. Verse 15, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they had burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. So this is why we of the Holy Coptic Church, we didn't want to just say Holy Coptic Church. We had to say Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah, because we want to make it plain which Messiah we are referencing. You understand? Because there's more than one Jesus in this Bible. All right?
Is there more than one Christ? Or there's more than one Jesus, but not more than one Christ?
There is more than one. See, when they're saying Christ, originally, it was Messiah. We just read that in John 1:41. They are saying Christ because when they give you the initials JC, they're talking about their Christ, Julius Caesar, who when you do the in-depth analysis like we have, you see the parallels between Julius Caesar and who people are calling Jesus in Scripture today. This is seen in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, right? Paul, who would have been an advocate of Julius Caesar, because this Paul was indeed the historian Josephus that people reference to say he was an actual eyewitness account of the various things that are being mentioned in Scripture today. But he was the Josephus, the Piso Paul, right? For it is another Jesus. So someone was preaching another Jesus whom we have not preached, who they didn't preach. They was preaching Julius Caesar. Or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. So there's another Jesus, another gospel, and another spirit that we're contending with, which is why the confusion of biblical scripture comes about, and the Holy Coptic Church in this day and time is saying, no, we have original scriptures, and we have original teachings from this original Messiah and original spirit and original gospel.
I have a caller here. Let me see if I can get it connected. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes. Good morning, Mr. Nuri. Good morning, Ms. Green, and good morning to Brother Uncle.
Good morning, my brother. Happy New Year.
Yeah, same to you, brother. Hope you live to see many more.
You too, brother.
Brother Uncle, I agree with you when you're talking about the one mind thing, because the Bible talk that says that we must stand as one man. You know that kind of way?
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to stand as one man, the only way to get to that is by we all must accept that which is true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kind of way, because, see, you can't lean on your own understanding if we all follow the truth. Mm-hmm. You understand? And that's why I push for objective teaching, mm-hmm. objective knowledge, objective speech. You know what I mean? We can't be around here with this objective talk and opinions. We have to start dealing with the truth, because the Bible tells us that only the truth is going to set us free. All right? Now, C.A. was talking about if God have a favorite people or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
C.A., every people on this earth has their own way. Everyone has their own way. You know, that kind of way. The Chinese have the Asians have Buddha. The Arab people have Muslim, et cetera, et cetera. Have Hinduism, et cetera. So when you say God have their favorite people, you see, that's a tricky question. You know, we could talk about that in some more time, but I just try to give you a better understanding of that. But, Angu,
mm-hmm.
When you was talking about, you said something very important when you was talking about Akhenaten.
Mm-hmm.
You said, of that day and time.
Yes.
You understand? But see, we ain't of that day and time. We of this day and time.
Right. But we are the remnant of those of that day and time.
Understand.
So the way of life is what we're holding up more than any person.
Yeah, I understand, brother. But see, we also, and see, I heard you said before too, that we have messiahs or guides for our times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so if that's the case, mm-hmm. then when you talk about Akhenaten, and you said, like I said before, what you said was of that day and time, then we need to look for who is of our day and our time.
I agree.
You understand? Because some of the things, when you was reading Revelation, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to get into that talk. But you have, you know, other people could say, you're talking about someone else. You understand where I'm coming from, right?
No, but, I don't. What do you mean when you say that?
The key thing I want to mention is this, Anku.
Mm-hmm.
You said that Akhenaten is like the character of Joseph.
Yes, that was a title, Yasuf. He was a keeper of certain sacred information, so he wore what they would call a sash, or this Yasuf.
Yeah, I understand, mm-hmm. but I'm talking about, you said he's the character of Joseph.
That's one of the interpretations, yes.
Yeah, and Jesus is like a Joseph character also, right?
Why you say that?
Okay, because you have to understand who are you familiar with Genesis 49?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, see, Joseph is a character. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that Joseph is one who, because you know the Bible talks about the sufferer, the afflicted one, the man of sorrow.
Right, Job.
Right? The mm-hmm. Bible talks about a character like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And see, Joseph is that character. See, notice what happened to Joseph. Joseph is a man who was hated by his brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He was put in prison. He was falsely accused for trying to be a principal man.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But yet still, in prison, in a place where he was forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
In his darkest place, he was able to come from the pits with solutions that was able to save Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you see, Joseph is one who, he is the afflicted one. He is God as a sufferer. He is God as a common man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We have God as king. We have God as different things. But Joseph is the one who walks among his brothers, who mm-hmm. experiences life as a common man. You understand? Who experiences injustices in life, but yet still he prevails. That's the character of Joseph, brother. So when we talk about character, you can't just talk about a description thing. I mean, you were talking about Revelation and how it talks about Akhenaten, that description. See, I get a little wary when people do things like that, Uncle, because you have a picture of Akhenaten?
Yes.
I mean, you have a photograph of him?
There are statues. There are statues of him.
I didn't hear you.
There are actual statues of him.
No, come on now, brother.
You wanted them to take a picture of him 3,500 years ago?
But what I'm trying to say is this. This is the point I'm trying to make to you. If there's something written that is describing someone, right, and other people too say that this describing someone they're dealing with, right? You understand where I'm coming from, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, a person like me, see, I just try and talk with me, see, because I like to deal with objectivity. I like to deal with objectiveness.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So a person like me, unless I have definite proof that I could prove that that's the person I'm talking about, I ain't going to say that.
Right. So let's
thank you very much.
When I mentioned that it was Akhenaten, I said that you would have to go back to the Istanjil, or some would refer to it as the Injil. And so in that particular scripture or writing, it's clear. That is what the original books of the Bible, that's why it is so necessary, because it actually calls names. And it actually has the images of those who were in the likeness based on the tribes that they were in of these people so that we have an understanding of who they are. But if you've never read it, then why would you even think to speak objectively about it? You've never read it.
We have another telephone call here, Uncle. Let me.
But you can. The Holy Coptic Church is here. We have it.
You will let people come into your church and serve the service?
Of course.
Yeah.
That's why we're here.
Where are you located?
We are off of Wolf Road on Woods Alley. At this point, this is our temporary location. Remember, we had a fire in 21 of June. But right now, we're off of Wolf Road on Woods Alley. And you can call 426-1148, 426-1148, and I can give you more directions if you need it.
Okay. Producer, Pastor's next call is for me, please. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning to you, Bible scholars.
Good morning.
Good morning, my brother.
Aaron is quiet. You know, in the Taliban, women can't speak. So I guess you guys are probably related. I like when I notice that Bible scholars go at it, and they never seem to agree. So there seemed to be some confusion with anyone who called themselves a preacher, teacher, when you line them up with some other one, just like your previous caller. You had issues with some of the stuff he said. That's why I really just listened to all of y'all respectfully, and I decide what resonates within me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I go with. But I appreciate the discussion very, very much, and I like how it was started out by Nuri. He really laid the platform.
Yeah.
I have a question, though.
Yeah.
Jesus said, these things I do, you will do even more.
Right.
And I have noticed that there's no one being risen from the dead today. There's no one being healed from their illnesses. There seem to be a lot of conflict in the world today. The people who were chosen, they're at war, and they're cousins. So there seem to be conflict in my mind as to who are the chosen people, because I believe I'm chosen. You can't tell me I ain't chosen.
Right.
You think there's someone...
You ain't Jewish. Hell to be hot.
I'm only telling you what I believe. All right? I'm not trying to tell you what the book says.
Okay.
All right? I enter your books. The spirit is in me. All right? That's why I follow my mom. And I believe the first person I can see when I open my eyes again is going to be her. But how come that these things that I do, you should do more, but I don't see that more happening today? What's the conflict there?
The conflict is you don't see it.
Oh, but I don't see it.
Yeah. The
so tell me, who's recently been risen from the dead?
It happens every day. It's called get the paddles, and you put it on the chest, and you say clear, and you hit them with electricity, and they come back to life.
Well, I know we're electrical beings, but I'm talking
it happens
about
every
someone
day
who
in
has
hospitals.
Actually been dead.
It's called CPR
for like 3-4 days.
And I may sound like I'm being facetious, right? But I'm not. I'm actually not. When you look at and this is why you have to look at these scriptures with African eyes, because we understood that when Aset, when she was shown as a bird, a kite bird, over the body of Osaru, and they're showing her actually causing her wings to give breath into his body, that was a form of CPR. Mm. You understand? We also understand that to be brought back to life doesn't only mean that the individual is being brought back to life, because a seed can be brought back to life through birth, which is why we understood eternal life to be through the actual children, your children, and or your works. Every children, then your works can live on past
okay.
you.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
All right.
So
I appreciate you.
Yeah. So
thank you very much, Carl.
So the understanding is to see it with the African eyes. Go ahead.
Well, I watched a couple documentary.
Mm-hmm.
I even watched one documentary about the crucifixion of Christ.
Mm.
Right?
Right.
I mean, there are other examples. Like, maybe you can't see it, right? But I know about one thing called the puffer fish that could render someone to appear unconscious.
Yes.
Or with such a low pulse that you could think that they are past.
Right.
But if you understand what is available in your environment, you would hesitate before you declare them dead. Right. And then we see interpretations of the crucifixion of Christ that suggests that he was given a salve of sorts, right, to render him unconscious so that his family members could take him off the cross.
Right.
And then when he was put in the garden and he then disappeared, it was because he was not actually dead, but rendered into a state that you would presume he is dead without specific knowledge.
What I think people need to be aware of is that when when the Messiah, when they say he was crucified, right? They said in Matthew 27, verse 45, he's on the cross. He's saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, in verse 46. And then he eventually is given the sponge that you talked about. But then in verse 50, it says that Jesus, when he had cried again, with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. People stop reading after that. Verse 51 goes on to say, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Then it says in verse 52, this is very important, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. So this reality of, they say, Jesus resurrected, he wasn't, he was dying. They said the saints who slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection. So he wasn't the only one who resurrected.
But they're all dead.
But they all resurrected.
But they're dead afterwards.
So, no, the reality is you're only given once to die, according to the book of Hebrews.
My Jesus gone in heaven. The ship came down on the top of that mount and take him up.
So,
and when they saw in the air and the spaceship, mm-hmm. they saw three of them.
Right.
Address in. It's written. And, these things
and,
was written.
And we can get to that in another show. I ain't go there now because of the sake of time. What I want people to be aware of is here in Matthew 27, it is making reference to other people being resurrected. So now which makes sense? People are actually climbing out of graves, or there was a caress consciousness that allowed for those who were on the path to also rise mentally and be the remnant of those who were a part of the previous generations that we were talking about with the brother who called earlier. Just like you had those who were a part of this consciousness during the time of Akhenaten and his wives Nefertiti and Kaya, they were responsible for moving the Messiah to the African Bethlehem called Amirna, in order for him to be raised to become what he ultimately became. I want people to also understand that the three wise men, what made them wise before the Messiah was even born? You understand?
On the phone lines, little uncle.
Go ahead.
I can try and make sure everyone get a chance to speak before we go. So mm-hmm. if you're calling, you call now. Producer, patch this caller to two, please. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Good morning, Fia. Good morning, Aaron. And what is the boy named? Anku Sarah, K. Sarah, Sarah.
Dr. Aeneas.
You have a PhD.
PhD. Four hungry dog. Listen, Aaron, if you take that narrative, and according to the Bible, it says that there was a big stone that was placed before the tomb, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then not only that, The emperor's seal was placed on the stone. There were soldiers placed there.
Mm-hmm.
And when the women went down, was trying to get, the question is, who's going to roll back that stone? Okay. So if he was not dead and he walked out, how was he able to roll back this stone and all the soldiers right there? Come on, we got to do better than that, man.
This is that's a time where we had...
No, but hold on. But I didn't speak of something out of my head. I read the Bible. You have an issue with Matthew chapter 27. I don't. Which narrative are you talking about?
He's talking about me. He's talking about me saying that Jesus didn't
Aaron
die.
Okay.
He was not dead. That he was in a he was in a coma.
So two things.
Comatose state.
Two things.
I think I'm responding.
You ever been to a government office?
I think he just.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm saying you ever been to a government office, and the soldiers. They don't use the bathroom. They don't go on a break. They don't say, this boy dead, you know. Like, it could have been Cardo, Vado, and Nado right at the rock. This Cardo say, boy, I got to go get a collect. He's a boss man. We on duty, you know. On duty doing what? Guarding a dead body?
That makes sense.
What happened?
Let's go to this next caller.
The boy disappear?
I see you. I see what you're saying. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? I'm trying to get everyone to fit in. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, caller.
Mm-hmm.
Hi.
Oh, Paul is scared. Check this out. All these things going on in the country, people trying to get their money, and you're like, ah, good job. I'm glad you're on with the Bible. So people could be reborn in their minds knowing that, hey, don't you know that you are God's also? We all deserve the best. This topic is not to divide anybody, any color, race, or whatever, Chinese, whatever, Bahamas, whatever. This is to bring a conscious idea to people to know that, hey, We all deserve the best, not just the ones we put in charge. Mm. Come on, those in charge can have the best too, but give us the best also. Yes. Good job, y'all.
Thank you.
Thanks. Let's go run to the next caller there too. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, producer. Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Good day, good day.
You're live, brother.
Good morning, Don Koo and the panel.
Good morning, brother.
Listen, lost is the word. I could use the scriptures. He said, Father, remove this cup from over me. For it would not be my will, be thine will. So the cup was metaphor. So obviously, if it was me, I was going to pray for life. And then, so Andrew, straight this out. Remember now, in the Jewish customs traditions, it was in their tradition to remove the person after this being put in the storm. You know, you remember that, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was not. Yeah. Let's read the story of Joseph of Arimathea and when his wife discovered him, Mary of Magdala, not Mary Magdalene, Mary of Magdala.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of confusion there. You need to read the Muslim Christian dialogue. And so I agree with the last lady. I did the schisms, and I don't know who's spiritually chosen, who's frozen. Give thanks.
Yes. I want to read Matthew 28. There's a report from the guard who was there.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 28:11. Now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. Because they had to give a report. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. The religious people of that time were interfering with the actual reports of the soldiers here in Matthew 28. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as the saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this very day. That's just an example. I'm not saying that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Of people's narrative being interfered with. And they were being interfered with the religious leaders of that time.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So we have to be very wary because Satan, the god of this world, is calling himself the Most High in all of the religions of this world today, according to Isaiah chapter 14.
Mm-hmm. And see what the Pope did. Pope said, oh, it's all one room. It's just one room. It's plenty doors. It's just one room. And Pope, what you imply is that when you get to the door, the Pope will be right at the. When you get at the other side of the door, the Pope will
see,
be
the
right
Pope,
there to
the
meet
Pope
you.
The Pope have enough one gate,
mm-hmm.
but in Revelation 12, have enough 12 gates.
Mm-hmm.
You believe there's other pathways to salvation?
I understand.
Can I be Buddhist and get to heaven?
See, you are saved by the blood.
What about Hindi?
Let's be clear.
Can I be Hindi and get to heaven?
If you're Hindi,
yeah, you could go to Hindi heaven.
Because if the Jews don't
right
believe
now,
in my Christ,
right,
can they get to heaven?
Right now, we are in the heaven of the dominant Western culture. While we catch in hell, while this country on the verge is shutting down, there are people who are in heaven. That's what the last caller just talked about. The fact that it ain't for just the privileged few who are in their heaven while we are in their hell. You understand? So hell for some people is heaven for the saints, for another group of people in the same condition. You understand? Why I say we are saved by the blood is because our DNA, our RNA, our chromosomes go back through our, they were saying, honor thy mother and thy father so that thy days could be long in the land that I gave you. You can't just jump to the Most High. You must go through your bloodline. You must go through your genealogy. That's why it gave you 12 different tribes. Even though they were melanated people, they were different tribes. And if you understand your blood and if you understand the ways of that bloodline and you build heaven on earth, then you can be in heaven. But my heaven is not necessarily going to be the heaven of other people and vice versa.
To the point about whether Jesus died on the cross, whether he was dead in the tomb, right?
Mm-hmm.
I also what I find fascinating is how much of European history believes that Jesus didn't die in that tomb.
Mm.
How much of European history or European documentation of history suggests that Jesus and Mary of Magdalene was all true Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Post this crucifixion, escaping the authorities and trying to destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
Don't mind if I believe it.
Right.
Ask the Europeans why they believe it.
Mm.
Right? Like, let's start there. If you don't believe the Africans, ask the Europeans why there are so many, many monuments to Mary of Magdalene throughout France, right, throughout Europe. Mm-hmm. Ask them that. And then that may lead you back to why others also think
right
this boy didn't die.
We have a couple minutes now before we end the show. Aaron mentioned Jesus in Europe, right? But Europeans, who our Christianity seems to be based on, when I say, I call it Western Christianity. Mm-hmm. The Baptist follows a Western Christianity. Mm-hmm. The Methodist follows a Western Christianity. And for lack of a better word, a white Christianity, right? It's a narrative from a particular group of people. And they, since they conquered the world, we all embrace this narrative. There hasn't been an African or a Hindi or a Arab narrative, a Christianity narrative that they interpreted and say, this is how we interpret our Christianity, right? We Anglo-Saxon based.
But they're the ones who control the propaganda. There's a book that I'm in the middle of reading, Dr. Christopher Curry, called Resistance and Freedom, talking about the black loyalists that came here.
Yeah, black loyalists?
Yes. After 1783, you had black loyalists that came in from New York. They came in from St. Augustine and from the Carolinas, came into this country.
And we enslaved them?
Well, that's what the book is about. The black loyalists were fighting for the freedoms that they would have thought that they would have gained by supporting the British. That's a whole other show. But I'm mentioning it because the Baptists, the Methodists that came here through that reality, mm-hmm. were part of what's called the Great Awakening. And when the Baptists came here, the Anglican missionaries that were actually reporting on them were saying that they were that they were ignorant and that their synchronistic ways, in other words, they still believed in their West African traditions and religions, but they put on top of it an actual Christian feel to allow for themselves to exist. So they never gave up their true religious identity insofar as they understood when they said Mary, what it meant. When they said Jesus, what it meant. You understand? These Baptists, they were actually following John the Baptist. That's why they were called Baptists, according to some of the notes. All right, Dr. Curry, you should have him on one day. He could definitely explain it much better than I am.
I was enjoying that, man.
I'm in the middle of the book, so I don't want to, you know, speak on it. I'm not an authority on the subject. But you could bring Dr. Curry on to talk more about it. But these black loyalists, it's a beautiful read. But it talks about the Methodists. It talks about the Baptists. The Baptists were seen as outcasts because we had black preachers. And we had these huge black...
Black churches from carrying the word church. They had to be cathedrals.
Yes.
And assemblies. Yes.
That's why we have all the AMEs that don't say church.
It's illegal for them to carry the word church.
Look at God.
So I say that because the propaganda is what we are fighting against, not so much the truth. The truth has always been there, but mm-hmm. who's actually speaking on it and who's actually publishing it so that we can gain a better
grasp
of it.
Which is a perfect response to this text. It just says, you guys are lost debating the improbability of the probable, black people trying to portray like they know something that nobody else knows, just to try and attain some sort of superior complex. PhD means nothing. He still is a product of the environment that he was brought up. You don't debate the Bible. It's the only book that can be interpreted anyway. What you said just now is a perfect response to that. The Bible, it is. Everything else is interpretation.
Yeah. The reality is, for people who are serious, mm-hmm. You can slow down and actually sit with us, the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah. We walk through this word by word, verse by verse. And it's more than what we could ever get into on this radio show. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much, Dr. Cleven Ineas III, Cahoon of the Coptic Church of the Black Messiah. Thank you very much. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much, Aaron Green.
I wasn't
Green.
Here. Women were not. We didn't exist.
Once you all know your role.
We didn't exist.
Once women know their role, to be helpmate. Or meat, whatever it is. Have a beautiful day, ladies and gentlemen.